WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Michael Loewinger. The day I spent with AJ Andrews back in January 2020 was my crash course in militia organizing. I walked away with two major lessons. One, that militias and other far-right activists often used public Zello channels to communicate during local demonstrations, meaning I could listen in on events all over the country where violence might occur without having to travel, which the pandemic had made impossible anyway. And two, the right-wing paramilitary groups would use just about any media event, any crisis, to organize and get attention. And 2020 delivered those in spades. The COVID lockdown protests in Michigan.
As protesters moved into the Capitol building, Democratic State Senator Danya Polhanki posted this photo saying, "Directly above me, men with rifles yelling at us. Some of my colleagues who own bulletproof vests are wearing them."
The Black Lives Matter protests sparked by the murder of George Floyd.
America was on fire.
And conspiracy theories of Antifa infiltrating white suburbs.
Peaceful protests met by armed men and Confederate flag.
Police call it a false rumor that claimed Antifa had 3 busloads of members ready to hit neighborhoods in Maumelle, Bend.
It looks like we are going into the fray tonight, so keep us in your prayers.
This is a militia guy psyching himself up for a showdown with Antifa that never happened.
If I should fall, I want to be remembered as a patriot. Let history show that I stood up against this tyranny.
Last year, I encountered so many of these violent fantasies while monitoring militias on Zello. Frankly, too much for one person to keep up with, so I decided to enlist some help.
I've tracked down around 300 militias.
I teamed up with this guy, Hampton Stahl. He's a senior researcher with ACLID, which is the Armed Conflict Locations and Events Data Project. He's also the founder of a blog called Militia Watch, which he started as a response to sloppy coverage.
Because I had been doing a few years of research into U.S.-based right-wing militia groups and saw that there was a real gap in knowledge as far as the media goes about covering militia groups.
The increased visibility of these armed groups, combined with the anxiety and anger about the news, drove prospective recruits to right-wing forums and Facebook groups where militia guys shared passwords for their Zello channels with step-by-step instructions about how to join.
And so you join the group, and then the officers will invite you for an interview. They'll ask you some questions about what area you're in, whatever sort of ideological requirements there are for joining said militia.
What interested you in the 3% movement? Were you heard about the 3%?
I was actually approached in conversation during a anti-protest of Antifa and BLM in Brandon, Mississippi.
Do all of you have the backing of your family? Do they know that you're on an interview tonight?
I'm the man of the house, so, you know, if I need to go somewhere or do something, that's going to happen.
To be clear, neither Hampton nor I ever pretended to be a militia member or a new recruit. We merely lurked in the background.
So what do you got? What kind of experience you got? Military, law enforcement, medical?
31 Bravo, military police. I know a lot about weapons, munitions, and a fair amount of gear.
It's like a second job. It's us or tyranny. It's us or failure. It's us or a post-American world. Don't give two or flying about anybody that's less than 100% all the in. Are you all the in, over?
I ain't got nothing holding me back, Chris. If it kills me, it kills me.
And the ways in which those groups come together and do recruitment through platforms really has to do with them unapologetically believing that they can actually become a proxy for law enforcement.
Joan Donovan directs research at the Shorenstein Center on Media, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard University.
The continuous engagement with one another through social media has really normalized the notion of the vigilante.
Vigilantes, of course, are not law enforcement. They're not accountable to the public or trained to de-escalate violence. And that's why some observers shuddered at the thought of armed militias, say, standing guard at polling stations last November. Monitoring Zello, we did hear references to violence surrounding the election, but it wasn't about how to start it. It was about how to react to it.
We have to stay vigilant, stay well-trained, and maintain our composure so that we don't ever fire that first shot. That would kill us.
Yeah, roger that, sir. If we fire the first shot, we're done. I mean, the public view is turning around about us, and that's the way we need to keep it. We don't need to do anything to tarnish that.
They're fantasizing again, and oh, there's going to be all this, you know, riots in the streets. We got to be ready, guys. We got to be ready. But they're not talking about themselves going out there and doing it.
Megan Squire, a professor of computer science at Elon University, had been tracking discussions of the election from far-right groups online.
The whole vigilantism is couched in this language of protection, and that started in earnest with the reopen protests. Oh, I'm going to protect your business from the police who are trying to shut you down. And then it went to George Floyd. Oh, I'm going to protect you from the looters. I'm going to protect Trump from election meddling. The idea that this vigilantism is justified from a protection standpoint, youch, that's terrifying, because now they have a reason, right? And it's a reason that makes them look like a hero.
And then there's a growing body of evidence that some local police departments are enabling it. Look at what happened last summer during the protests that erupted after police shot Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, who had traveled to Kenosha from his home in Illinois, shot three protesters, killing two in an act that a jury has since deemed self-defense. Hours before that, though, he and the Kenosha Guard, a local militia, were thanked by law enforcement. They even offered the vigilantes bottles of water.
We appreciate you guys. We really do.
Rittenhouse provides a template for examining how violence might unfold in the future. Here was an armed vigilante who used social media to find other armed vigilantes. With the approval of law enforcement, they patrolled the streets looking for conflict, which culminated in a tragedy we all witnessed. Both police and social media can play a crucial role in the likelihood of these scenarios recurring. Let's start with the cops. While listening to Zello for our piece that aired in October 2020, Hampton and I observed three times when militia members claimed they had coordinated with local law enforcement. For example, one group called the Georgia 3% Martyrs, aka Georgia 3% Guardians, expressed deep distrust of the police in their chat room, but then claimed to have teamed up with them at a BLM protest south of Atlanta.
When Payne, Evo, J3, and myself rolled up at South Lake Mall and assisted the Morrow Police Department, we were in full battle rattle, and Payne even sighted in on somebody and they didn't mess with us.
The fact that the police are, you know, allegedly standing next to a militia member who is pointing a rifle and looking down his sights at said protester is highly troubling.
I was interested in this, so I reached out to a reporter named Robin Kemp, who wrote for a website that she started called the Clayton Crescent. She was there at South Lake Mall, and she sent me audio of the scene. Don't shoot! She walked with the protesters, about 150 of them.
Almost all African-American people who were marching. There was no violence or vandalism or anything like that. It was like a very joyful, family-oriented feeling of people assembling for the march in the parking lot of the shopping mall on the weekend.
And it's time that we speak up, we stand up, and we let the world know that Black lives matter.
Amen. Was this like the only Black Lives Matter protest at the South Lake Mall over the summer.
Yeah, I think that that was the only one.
She did not see very many police officers there, and she did not see any militia guys there. If this did happen, then the police and the militia were out of sight, off to the side.
It's very common for militias to either get on roofs or go around corners and just be staged nearby. There was a Black Lives Matter protest here in Atlanta back in 2016 that I attended. And as I was leaving, I took a wrong turn in the parking garage and ended up on the roof. And two spaces over, there was a Jeep with four men with rifles in their hands looking out over the protest. There's a lot of work that happens that isn't super visible.
It's worth noting, too, that Zello is just one app that militias used for organizing. I didn't have access to their communication on, say, Telegram or Facebook chat. After we aired this piece in October 2020, the leader of the Georgia 3% Martyrs told Robin Kemp of the Clayton Crescent that four men from his militia did attend that protest, but without his permission. After that event, he said he kicked them out. The Morrow Police Department did not respond to our request for comment. A month after the Morrow protest, I caught wind of another potential police-militia relationship in Georgia.
I got word from Douglas County Sheriff's Department today that they're supposed to have a protest in Douglas County over their monument and Civil War monuments. And they said within the next week, they may reach out and ask for assistance.
And if possible, we'll give it.
That's two guys from the 3% security force speaking on July 2nd, 2020. 1 week later, there was in fact a Black Lives Matter protest at the Civil War monument. But we couldn't verify that 3%ers actually showed up. When we contacted them last year, the 3% security force denied they had contact with the police, and the Douglas County Sheriff's Department did not respond to our request for comment. The third example of alleged coordination between armed vigilantes and local police actually reveals a course of action for reducing violence in the future. It involves the Michigan Home Guard, a militia that made national news last May when it defended Carl Mankey, a barbershop owner who defied state lockdown measures by reopening his business.
Members of the Michigan militia say they will take action to keep Mankey from going to jail.
We are willing to stand in front of that door and block the entrance. So, yeah, the police will have no entry there today.
A few weeks after that incident, word began to spread that there was an upcoming Black Lives Matter protest in the works. A couple local politicians and at least a couple armed militias, including the Michigan Home Guard, were preparing to attend. Then, Livingston County Sheriff Michael Murphy posted this video to his department's Facebook group.
So here's the deal. I've had personal conversation with Rob from 2A, Mike Detmer, and former Sheriff Bob Bazat. I asked both to stand down to not show up tomorrow. Let me tell you a little story. Back in the mid-90s, there was a KKK rally held on the steps of the old courthouse. That was the biggest non-event that this county has ever seen. The community really banded together and had other activities to do. A handful of people, maybe 20 at the most, showed up for the KKK to do their thing. They realized that they didn't get the reaction that they were looking for. They packed up and left. So it was a beautiful thing. That said, my plea is if you just stay away, there's no stage for anybody to make this thing go sideways.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
I hadn't seen that.
I think it's a little problematic to like compare the KKK to Black Lives Matter protesters, but I understand the point that he was trying to make, which is that showing up in force in response to something could have the effect of pouring gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, and Michigan has an extensive history with right-wing militias. Referring to these militia as the 2A community is laundering that history through something that is deemed a little bit more politically neutral, a constitutional amendment.
That's a good point. And as I listened to the Michigan Home Guard on Zello kind of making sense of the message from the sheriff, there was some frustration and anger, and I would also say confusion.
So Livingston County Sheriff there requested Michigan Home Guard and other vetted militia groups to come and help him with extra security, and then later came out publicly and said he did not do that. He does not want any 2A people there, and then stay away.
there was a rumor that spread in the Michigan Home Guard Zello group that even after he made that video, he secretly said, no, Michigan Home Guard should come.
No, I still want you there. I just want you to stand back and make sure nobody sees you, more or less.
I still want them to come. I basically just want them to keep a low profile.
Well, that's not shady at all.
Pardon me, but that's bull****. And, you know, he should have just kept his mouth shut.
The next day, the sheriff denied this rumor on Facebook. And again, there's a lot about what happened behind the scenes that we couldn't verify. But by addressing the militias publicly, asking these groups not to show up, the sheriff seemed to at least annoy them to the point that they decided not to go.
Yeah, RLT gave us an official stand down on the Livingston thing.
Sheriff Michael Murphy denied that he was in contact with the militia, and the Michigan Home Guard did not respond to our request for comment when we reached out to them last fall. We couldn't get a complete picture of what happened in any of these examples, but the tapes demonstrate that local law enforcement wield a ton of influence over local militia activity. The police may either ignore, condone, invite it, or effectively tamp it down. Social media companies face a similar choice. In the summer of 2020, Facebook deleted thousands of militia pages. Twitter also booted a bunch of militia accounts, as did Discord, a smaller app that had long incubated far-right groups.
We were very concerned about Discord.
Joan Donovan.
During the rise of the alt-right, because Discord was a minor app and it really wasn't able to understand enough about what was happening on its platform. Because they would see, oh, you know, it's just 13 people. And that ends up being like Adam Waffen. Right? It's a group of people that are coordinating violence.
In the name of white supremacy.
Exactly. And so Zello has to have a procedure and a policy and enforcement mechanisms where they do not tolerate this kind of behavior, unless it's the business model.
You'd think it would be hard for Zello Corporate to miss what was happening on their own app if Hampton and I alone could locate 200 far-right groups ranging from Oath Keepers to straight-up Nazis. According to Zello's own terms of service, the app can remove anything that, quote, represents promotion of, celebration with, violent extremist ideologies, groups, and tactics. In the fall of 2020, when we were doing this research, we reached out to the company to ask how it was enforcing its terms of service. In a written statement, Zello told us that the company, quote, allows speech protected by the U.S. Constitution and law. Therefore, Zello does not permit distribution of content designed to incite violence, end quote. For the full response, go to onthemedia.org. Late in our reporting process that year, we spoke with an employee at Zello who asked to remain anonymous. The employee sent us a company-wide email from June 2020 that detailed some of this militia and white supremacist activity on the app. The employee said that in a subsequent company-wide email, Zello CEO Bill Moore said, essentially, that because the platform was not legally responsible for any harm caused by those far-right groups, it would not kick them off the site, nor would Zello implement new moderation practices to deter this type of organizing in the future. From what I could tell, the most concrete action to come out of that summertime meeting was to de-index far-right groups from search engines, which means when you Google Zello 3% or Zello Nazi, those channels don't show up. But they still exist, and you could still find them on Zello. They just became harder to find by people like us. In October 2020, when I filed this story, there was something about the way the militias were talking about their role as protectors who would give their lives for the cause, not to mention the amount of weapons these guys seemed to have. It all seemed like a toxic brew just waiting to boil over. Of course, we didn't know exactly what would happen just a few months later, but among the community of experts we were talking to, there was an inkling of what was to come. This is how I ended the story in October. Quote, from now until November 3rd, at least, we'll be concerned about the potential for violence around the election. No one knows the answer, but too much blood has been shed already for any police department or online platform to pretend that there was nothing they could have done to help stop it. Coming up, the trail of breadcrumbs leads straight to the Capitol. This is On the Media.